B-Pod Studios.
It's time now for the Gargano and Martinez Midday Show with Anthony Gargano and Jason Martinez. It starts now.
How's everyone doing? Good morning, everybody. Happy Thursday and game day to all across the Delaware Valley. Wow. I'm Anthony Gargano, and this is the Midday Show. Jason's off today. Me and the Chunis hanging out with you. It's a big one. Game three. And here's the deal. I know there's all talk. Brooklyn's talking tough. The Vegas line is low. They got to smoke this team. They got to come out, and they need to duplicate and replicate what they did in game two. This team is inferior. I don't care what you say. I love D'Angelo Russell, good player. Spencer Dinwiddie is a nice player. But give me a break. They got to go in, and they got to smack that team. That team is an inferior team to them. And it's all well and good that they responded at home after the clunker of game one, but now they got to do it again. And this is, I need to hear from the jury today because I need Brett Brown to do exactly what he did. I don't want to see TJ anywhere near the game unless they're up by more than double digits and there's 5 minutes left. I want to see attacking the paint. I don't want to see jacking up bad shots, particularly back jacking up bad threes. This needs to be pound the ball against a weak front court. This needs to be Jimmy getting the ball down low to Joe. And when Joe needs to be up top to save his wind, that's where Ben needs to be. Ben needs to be attacking the rim or posting up himself. And I can't have another dismal or an average night from Ben. He's got to bring it two games in a row. In the playoffs. That's all a part of growth. They're a much better team than the Nets. You watch. Look at the Bucks. All right? Bucks are rolling. Now, I think Brooklyn's better than Detroit without Blake Griffin, but they're just crushing them. They crushed them again. And the stinking Celtics still figure out ways to win. I'm thinking they're out. I thought that Indiana was going to steal that game last night, and they went on that run to close the game. I need that from the Sixers tonight. I need them to play. This is Brett Brown. We talk about coaching for his job. It didn't just stop after game two. I want to see more of that coming out tonight. The other thing. Merry Christmas, everybody. Or I don't know, it's Christmas in July type of thing because the schedule is out. Man, it's tough. It's a tough schedule. It's a great schedule, but it's tough. You got Rodgers. You got Ryan. You got Brady. You got Wilson. You also have a stretch where you play three road games back to back to back.
Uh-oh.
At Minnesota. Looking for revenge. At the Cowboys. And then I think a really tough one at the Bills. Because it comes after Dallas, after the Sunday night. It comes the third game of it. It's the third straight road game. It's a tough spot. And then they got the bye on November the 10th. And they come out Patriots Seahawks. Wow. Back to back at home. That is awesome. We got great primetime games. We got Atlanta in week two. We got Green Bay. On a Thursday night, the back.
Because I can.
Wow. We got Dallas on a Sunday night, which is great. We got the Seahawks on a Sunday night. We got a Monday nighter against the Giants. We got a bunch of 4 o'clock games, which I love the 4 o'clock game. For me, I love this schedule because there's not a ton of ones. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Well, there's 9 ones. I like the 4s and the prime times.
Like close to half?
There he is, Jonas.
You're close to half. You should be happy about that.
I know. I hate 1 o'clock
games.
You
can't do all 16.
I would love all 16 to be 4 or later.
4 o'clock's my favorite.
There's something about, right? 4 o'clock. 4 o'clock is awesome.
Plus, you can settle down before you go to bed. When you get done, when the Eagles get done at 11 o'clock at night, you're still juiced.
You're not
ready to go to bed yet.
That's a great
point. So the 4 o'clock game is perfect.
That's a great point. It's a great point. You are on edge. Your adrenaline's rushing.
Win or loss.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. No, if they win, you're excited. You're still feeling good. They lose, you're angry. And then, you know, and either way, you're watching post-game, talking about it, checking Twitter, whatever you're doing to kind of look at the game. So I agree. 4 o'clock, though, is the best, particularly like when it's October and it gets a little dark and the sun's down and it's 4 o'clock kickoff. Yeah. So there's a couple great, great travel games. Including one that I'm a part of, which I can't wait to tell you about. And it comes at the perfect time. But there's also a Green Bay game, a Lambeau. One of the great places, one of the old meccas of football. The NFL is heading into its 100th season. And I love this because it's going to be a celebration all year long about the past. They're going to celebrate all the great moments. Even the schedule is based off of that. Like they have Green Bay, Chicago, because that's a throwback from the beginning days of the league. There is a book. You guys got to read this book. And it's about the beginnings of the league and how the league was formed. And it's fascinating. It's one of the great reads if you're a football fan to check it out. It really is good. You like football books?
Yeah, of course. And what's it called?
I'll get it for you. I'll get it. It just came to mind. I'll get it for you. You like? You read mine? My Inside the Game one.
I've been waiting for the autographed copy.
What autographed copy?
I'm waiting for you to give it to me. Autograph.
What am I got? A load of books in my basement?
Yeah, come on, man.
Oh, dude, it's where you got to go buy. You know, should have bought all 3 of my books. In fact. I'd be happy to sign them for
now that I'm making some money. I'll make a couple phone calls.
Nah, but all kidding aside, it's awesome. The schedule's out. We got to do W's and L's. I'm sorry. I know it's the most meaningless, ridiculously stupid thing to do, but I love it. It's like candy for me. It's like having a bag of chips. It's bad for you, or actually there's no health nutrients, but I love them. And it's fun. So I need to do the schedule numerous times with the audience, with you, Junis. It's one of my favorite
things. How many 13-3s do we get today?
I don't know, dude. This schedule is not a great schedule. It's a tough one. We'll lay it out how it goes from game to game. And, of course, we got the 10-9-8 76ers. What do we expect tonight? What do you want to see tonight? I'm anxious. I'm on edge with this game tonight. I think they roll. I do. I think they win this game. I don't think it's a sweat. However, would you say to the bro, you and the bro?
2.5.
2.5 is light. Isn't that short?
Yeah, what is Vegas trying to tell you right now?
No, I'm not a big believer in that Vegas is telling you something. However, that one is a little scary.
They're always pretty close.
They're not always pretty close. Sometimes they're close, and sometimes they're way off. This one smells a little bit, but it shouldn't. They should win this game, and they should win this game. They're that much better than that team. And it's not like you're going to play in Boston. Boy, that Brooklyn team. Give me a break. Stop. The Barclays Center. Is that some vaulted home court that you're afraid to go into?
Maybe Jay-Z's hanging out there.
Come on now. Let's go. Let's get to it. All right, midday show. We're just getting started. Oh, it's going to be a geek out session today. I can feel it. We got to get to the fightings, too. I think a good game performance yesterday. We'll get your view there, Chunis, as well. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. The dramatic reading of the schedule will come next, along with your phone calls. I'm Cuz. It's Midday Show.
Kicking ass and taking names.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Hour brought to you by Window Nation. When you're searching for windows, search windownation.com.
Get excited!
This is great! This is great! You ready? So you know Jared Dudley rips Ben.
Who?
Jared Dudley. He rips Ben Simmons and he says that Ben is an average player in the half court. So he rips him. He's just an average. First of all, you're Jared Dudley. Who the hell are you? You're a below average player, period, because Jared Dudley. Anyway.
Loved him coming out of BC.
Anyway, stiff. Anyway, how about Ben's response? Now, Chunis, before we get to his response, and you have the audio of it?
I got to get it during the break.
All right. Well,
it was short and sweet.
All right. Well, before we get to it, and I'll deliver it. What would you want his response to be? Just in general, would you want him to be like kind of slough it off? Would you want him to go back at it? Would you want him to be like, we don't talk about that. What do you want from him?
From Ben Simmons?
Response wise.
I want to just wipe the dirt off my shoulder because it's Jared Dudley. Now, if it's like maybe one of their better players, one of their more so average, a little above average players, like if it's D'Angelo Russell talking trash, maybe you talk a little smack back because they're boys. They played in high school together. But if it's Jared Dudley, come on, man. Just wipe it off. Who cares?
Correct. And you know what Ben's response was? Come on, man. It's Jared Dudley.
All right.
That's awesome.
I love it. Love it. Come on, man. It's Jared Dudley. Come on, you want to trade this kid? That's awesome. That's a great response. Look, he's growing into it, man. He's got to go through these wars. He's got to go through him. He's got to grow. I love that response. Come on, man. It's Jared Dudley. Like, Jared Dudley, are you serious? Why should I dignify that with a response? I mean, that's stiff. That's what I like. These people that want to trade Ben, please, I want to talk to you today. Let's have a whole referendum on it. Because I just want to try to persuade you to give him more time. To sign the Ben contract. We're doing the Phillies contract. And by the way, add a boy to Gabe.
Kicking ass and taking names.
For some good managing in that ninth inning. It's good managing in the ninth inning. He got away with it, not because Gabe tried to do his best with that bullpen. I got one question off that because the bases are loaded. And here's Hector Neris. Now, he can't throw his – if you think about what Neris is and that breaking pitch.
Splitter.
Yep. He can't throw for strikes, right? Like, he's wild with it. And what does he do? It's a 3-2 count. Now, if I'm Broxton, who's a young player, You got to sit dead red, don't you? Don't you got to sit fastball on that? It's 3-2. He's not going to the bases are loaded. He's not going to walk home the tying run. I don't know. I'm sitting fastball right here. I'm locked in fastball. There's no, if you throw a splitter and get it over, if you're going to throw a splitter and I hack at it, then you know what? God bless you. I'm not thinking he's throwing that pitch in that spot. Right or wrong?
No, you're right. I mean, that was his problem last year. That's why he got sent down, because he was trying to throw a splitter for strikes. And he was just throwing it right over the middle of the plate. And what is a major league hitter going to do to the splitter? They're going to hit it out.
Yes.
So now he's a better pitcher this year because he's not throwing it over the middle of the plate. But you're right. At that point, 3-2.
It's 3-2.
He's not going to throw a pitch in the dirt.
He's not walking home the tying run. He's throwing fastball. Now he throws that. I mean, that's a 94 mile an hour cookie.
Dead red.
That's a cookie. That's coming like Toll House. Chocolate chip. Floating right there. I mean, you know, straight as an arrow. Well, you know, thank God he's a young kid.
Seriously.
I mean, because that ball's got to get ripped. You gotta crush that baby. But all that said, Gabe did masterful, I thought. And how about Kingery? Wasn't that awesome?
Hey, he had another one. 480 now this year.
I know. Another bomb for Scott. Scott came up, you know, he's all buffed up, strong. Like it.
Now, when Segura comes back, I mean, it's a little battle right now because Segura's going to miss a couple more games probably with his hamstring. He's not going on the injured list.
Yeah, well, that's why it's perfect because now he gets to play. Remember yesterday I said I want to see him play.
Like two or three more games.
I just want to see him play. Now it's built in with Segura. So let's see if he can stay hot. He stays hot. He keeps playing.
Now Cesar had a home run yesterday too.
Yeah, he did. It was a shot.
Yes, it was.
That was 425 feet. By Cesar.
They got a little battle in the next 3 days.
I love it, man.
Pay attention to.
You're in Coors Field tonight for that. All right, but I digress. I want to get into you. I really want to talk to you about Ben. And what you... And I want to try to persuade you. I don't want to fight with you. If you feel a certain way, you feel a certain way. Just allow me the chance to try to persuade you to sign the Ben contract. Now, is this a fair contract? You can't call for him to be traded or rip him. I mean, if he plays poorly, you can rip him all day long. But as far as get him out, trade him for Jamal Murray, which I heard yesterday, you can't do that until next offseason. So a year from now, July, that will give him 3 playoff appearances, separate playoff appearances, and we'll be able to judge growth. Now, is that fair contract?
I would say it is. I think a lot of people with good basketball IQs would say it is, but there's a lot of people that are already out on Ben Simmons that I don't think would sign that contract.
Well,
they might give him the rest of the series. They might give him tonight, and that's it.
No, but I'm asking you. Like, I'm humbly coming to you. And I'm asking you to sign the contract, to sign the Ben deal.
I think there's a lot of people that won't.
I think it's in your best interests. I'm just asking you to be patient for one more year and that offseason. So it would be a year from July, and then, you know, whatever. School's out. You can do whatever you want. But I'm asking you to really sit back and think about the growth. See, I'm liking his cockiness. He's starting to feel himself. At least you can see little by little he's grown into himself. Little by little, grown into himself. And when Jared Dudley says, hey, he's average in the half court, and then he was asked to shoot around this morning, what did you think about what Jared Dudley said? And he said, come on, it's Jared Dudley. That's the perfect response. And I'll give him slack for after Saturday when he was a little babyish. He came right around and did a mea culpa and said, the fans were right. I love playing here. And he said the right thing.
And then he played well in game two.
And he got beyond playing well. I mean, he played like he should play. So there it is. And I'm going to ask you to do the contract. All right, let's hit the phone lines. And then I at some point, I need to do the dramatic reading of the schedule because it's one of my favorite things to do. Also, Chunis, the book about the NFL is called The League by John Eisenberg. And it goes back, and my father, first one to read it. It goes back, and it really tells the tale of how the league was formed. Really cool piece of work.
The League.
The League.
Not the the fantasy football show.
No, not that show. It's called The League. And Chunis, write down NFL Unplugged by Anthony L. Gargano. All right.
Will you sign it?
Yes. You can probably get it for a dollar. Let's go to Ben and Ambler. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Yo, cuz.
What's up, Benny?
What's happening? What's going on, guys?
How you feeling, man? How you feel about tonight?
I feel good. I feel good. But real quick, hey, I was down at Sugar House a couple weeks ago, and I had the pleasure of checking you out for a few minutes doing your live show. And I must say, man, you're much better looking in person than you sound on the radio.
I don't know if that's a backhanded compliment or not, but it was.
You're a good looking man, and you did well. So kudos to you.
It's Parks. It was at Parks where we met, Benny.
Parks. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
Parks.
That's okay.
Excuse me. I'm just. I love Ben Simmons coming in. I was all about giving him time, and I'm just at the point now. I didn't hear him rebut. I think you guys said that he did correct his comment after saying
about the fans. Yeah. Okay. On Sunday he did that.
Okay. Good. Because that was necessary.
Without a doubt, you're right.
Okay, but I just feel like he still does not have a shot. He's not trying. He's not, and it's like, at what point are we going to just say he's not going to be a shooter? And when we get to playoff time, he's not going to be effective because you saw how teams can guard him.
Okay, so that's a great question, and I don't ever think he's going to ever become a shooter. But you see when he takes the ball to the rim and attacks the rim, how much that changes. Because you can't sag off of him, because what you're doing is you're giving leverage to drive and attack the rim. All he really needs to do is be aggressive and driving the lane and be able to, at some point, develop a 12-15 footer. That's it.
Yeah. So you're saying even when a Boston plays off him like that, to still just attack the rim and make something happen regardless?
Yeah. I mean, if you're laying off me, you're giving me space to move forward. And that's what he's got to be able to do. Because he's a Mack truck going down the lane.
Yeah, absolutely. No question about it. But, I mean, it's an 8-10-foot jumper at that point. It's like, that should be a 99% shot. That should be a knockdown.
I agree with you. I mean, at some point, he's got to develop that little shot. I'm not talking about a three-point shot or even a mid-range like Jimmy Butler 18-footer. I'm talking 12, 15 feet out. And if not, drive and attack the rim. That's the only way you're going to keep a defense honest, right?
Absolutely.
If you attack the rim. And then when he does that, look what happened the other night. They collapsed on him, and he was able to find and pass out of the double team.
Right. And the only thing with that is sometimes, obviously he gets in the air and gets himself in bad positions.
That was Saturday. Yeah. I agree with that. That was Saturday. But when he's focused and he knows he's got a plan. It's like anything else, right? You got a plan of attack. And great call, Benny. I appreciate it. You got a plan of attack. You know what you're doing. You're not getting caught up in midair. But that's going to be his key. And I know we're hung up on a shot, and I know people, I have this argument all the time when it comes to the point guard. Because people think that if you're a point guard today, you got to be a combo. You got to be Lillard, Harden, Westbrook. To me, you're a point guard, You're a natural facilitator. Those guys are combos. You can have a natural facilitator at the one. You can still do that. Yeah, that's still okay. Because here's the bottom line. In this league, if you're going to be a four, and people go, he's a four, if you're going to be a four, then you got to be able to shoot. And then he can't shoot. So that's useless for him. There's times when he can be in a low block and post up, and Jimmy can handle the ball. And he can handle the entry. I love to see it. I keep talking about this, and I've yet to really see it, where Ben can run the offense from the low block, where he's got the ball in his hands in the low block. Because I do think there's plenty of options when it comes to spacing if he was able to do that.
So is that one of those things you need to see tonight?
Well, I don't think Brett's ever going to do that. I don't think. What I need to see from Ben tonight is you better attack the rim. That's what I expect. Attack, you got to play like you played in game two. Let's go to Bob in Florence. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Bobby!
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good, buddy.
I'm a member of your jury. If you remember last week, I'm the one with the 1988 starter's jacket.
Yes, the starter jacket. I love it.
I did not call you guys Tuesday because there's just no... earlier last week after the horrible first, Tuesday because of... there's just no need beating a dead horse. But a couple of things I want to point out.
That's not an excuse, though, Bobby. I'm glad you called today, though.
So here are some of the things that I got from game two.
Yeah.
They had a 13-point lead in the first quarter, and they really should have stepped on their throats and put the game away, but let them get back in the game. And, that's just a common occurrence with Brett, is that blowing leads and, poor management, clock management and timeouts. A couple other things. I appreciate the fired up attitude and yelling at everybody. That's what a Philly coach, that's what Philadelphia is about. The fans rip a new one, but I think it's a day late and a dollar short. And I think that tirade that apparently he had is more of, I'm trying to save my job. Where was that tirade game one?
Here's the thing though. He still did it. Like we would be talking, we would be killing him today if he hadn't done it. And look what he, I agree at that point, first quarter, they jump out the big lead. That was kind of the flow of the game. And the most important part at halftime, they came out and they played lockdown defense and they won game two.
So, aren't
you going to give him game three to see how they react?
I will, but my final, and I'll call back, but
yeah.
Right now he's still gone, and I think the reasoning is he's just too nice of a guy.
I don't know if that's it. You think he's too nice of a guy? What about, is it, because I think his deficiencies lie more on strategy than niceness.
No, I think he's just too nice of a guy. He doesn't want to hurt anybody's feelings, and I really think that tirade was him trying to save his job. So I'll talk
all right,
to you
guys. You got it, starter jacket. You got it. I used to have the red satin starter jacket with Sixers over the front. That's a nice one.
You got to bring back the starter jacket. I know it's starting to come back a little bit.
It is.
But it's got to be, daily wardrobe.
Starter jacket is cool. You know what was I had the red one. And the blue one. Growing up, they were the big ones. The blue one came first, then I had the red one.
You know, I had the cool star jacket, the Hornets.
Dude, I was going to say that to you. Everybody had the Hornets. Grandmama.
Oh, it was cool,
starter
man.
Jacket. The Hornets. I can't believe it. I saw Hornets, Magic.
Yes.
There was like Orlando Magic. Who else? It was all the four teams that came into the league at that point.
Well, the Grizzlies was cool, too, because they had the bear with the claw coming out.
Right. No, but you're right. I never liked the Hornets.
You didn't like the Hornets?
Nah.
Oh, come on, man.
Everybody had it. I didn't like it.
Love the Hornets starter jacket.
It's getting me mad. Because I was always you can't wear an opposition jacket.
You were mad at me the other day.
Nah, I wasn't mad at you. But, I mean, listen, you had the Dodger jersey. However, there was a greater good to wearing the Dodger jersey.
That's paying tribute.
And that was to Jackie. So that's cool.
It's still weird putting those colors on, though. Dodgers in front.
And you're walking in like you're Ron Say. You know who that is. You walk in like you're, Cody Bellinger. Walking around with the tight cut.
Man, is he good.
He's great, isn't he? He's pretty nasty.
By the way, the caller brought up Brett yelling in the locker room. Ben spoke about that yesterday. You want to hear what Ben said about it?
Let me hear it, Jones.
He expressed it, called me out a few times, you know, where I messed up on plays and yelled at me. So, I mean, I love to see that side of him because it motivates me and gives me that energy. So, I mean, it's great to see that side from him.
Do you want more of that? I mean,
when it's needed, when it's needed. I think, you know, he used it at the perfect time and it worked.
All right, now, that's a great answer, too. Don't you believe in that answer? You know, I find that answer pretty genuine. I'm telling you, I know that he frustrates everybody. And I know he can come across, Mike used the word bratty. But I love the kid. I do. I think the kid's got has a good attitude, man. I think he's got a nasty attitude. I think he can develop into... I think he's grown, huh? I'm saying after next year, that's why I offer you the contract. After next year, he becomes a killer elite. That's what I'm feeling. All right, we got lots to do. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. All right, the schedule came out. And you know what? We got a trip. We're actually going on a trip with our listeners. Yes. Birds fans, listen up. We're going to Miami December 1st. Now, I want you to join me and maybe somebody else at the station who might rhyme with Fro. We'll be hanging in our beachfront hotel, soaking in the sun, enjoying some beverages. While everybody at home is dealing with colder Philadelphia weather, this is the away game trip of the year. Trust me, you'll want to be there. Our friends at Philly Sports Trips has made it really, really easy. This is awesome. Go to phillysportstrips.com and check out our trip to Miami. The guys who run Philly Sports Trips, they're like you and me. Huge, huge 4-for-4 guys. Their goal is to make this trip one that we're going to remember forever. Listen. It's going to be great. We'll go down there. Perfect time, December 1st. Little South Beach. They're attaching the details. Impeccable. From easy direct flights to the perfect beachfront hotel to the best parties, including the best tailgate featuring Cavs catering to finally the game. There's even a private 4-hour afternoon cruise around South Florida the day before the game with only us. Birds fans. That's right. Trust me, we're going to have a blast together. Go to phillysportstrips.com right now. Reserve your spot. It's going to go quick. So we got to get this thing, got to get in fast so we're going to have a blast, man. Parties, the game, phillysportstrips.com. I can't wait to hang with you in South Beach.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Hello.
10:51. I'm excited for tonight. See how they come out. I got to do this schedule. Such a loser. Sometimes I embarrass myself. Like, I'm embarrassed for me. You know what I mean, Tunis? Andrew,
that's exciting.
Sometimes
Tom.
It's bad. But I love it. I can't wait to like do W's and L's that don't mean anything. And they're right. Mike used to rip it all day. What are you going to do W's and L's? I know. It doesn't mean anything, but I still like to kind of analyze it. I like pregame almost better than postgame. What do you like? Pregame's fun for hype.
Yeah, I think I agree with that because especially postgame, they do all the coach interviews and you know what they're going to say. Like, it's all the same stuff. Like, it's coach speak and player speak. So I'd rather do pregame. You got the picks.
I mean,
love the pick segment.
Postgame is like the analysis is fun. But pregame, which I like pregame because you get hyped up. So it's about emotion. Plus, I enjoy the strategic element pregame. How to attack. You like that?
Well, yeah. I normally watch the national pregame stuff.
So do I.
They don't really do too much breakdown before a game, though, do they?
Well, it depends on who you got.
Whoever the big matchup is of the day.
You know, the problem with Fox and the CBS is that they're too, you know, they want to super serve everybody. So they want to have comedy. They want to go, right, you know.
And they got that Riggle guy.
I mean, I hate that guy. Quite frankly, I like NFL Network. NFL Network, I get a little bit more.
More analysis.
Yeah. And I like that piece of it.
Well, you like to geek out.
Correct. I like that. It's same thing with, you know, when you're doing, it's why, but I will say this. I love the TNT basketball show with Charles and Kenny and Ernie. They do great pregame stuff. They'll get into what you expect. What do you see? How you would attack a team? I like that piece of it. Agree? No agree?
Yeah, I agree with you.
All right.
We got the Ben audio.
All right, let's hear it.
It's short and sweet. Right?
All right, let's hear it.
Let's go for Jared.
So again, just to refresh your memory, in case you just tune in. Jared Dudley calls Ben Simmons average in the half court. So today, this morning at shoot around, he's asked about it. And once again, he responds with,
"It's coming from Jared Dudley."
It's coming from Jared Dudley. Like, who's that? Who's Jared Dudley?
Now, if you're Ben, you got to show up tonight after saying that.
Damn right you got to show up.
That's throwing shade at Jared Dudley.
Yeah.
You can't have a 4-point performance tonight now.
No, but listen, he's got to show up. Part of the growth is he's got to have two good games in a row. You can't have a horrible game, come back when your coach rips you, the fans rip you, your manhood is put on the line, and you show up, which is great, but you got to do that without being put on the carpet. Sean in Voorhees, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. We say, Sean.
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you doing today?
Good, buddy.
So I was thinking the Phillies, that was a great win yesterday. I mean, Hector Neris to get that save at the end was absolutely great. But two pitchers that, you know, obviously Madison Bumgarner, but what do you think of bringing Cole Hamels back if the Cubs continue to stink? And having him, I mean, we need a lefty, rotation.
Yeah, he pitched well last night. No, I love it. I just don't know. You think the Cubs are going to be done? I mean, I can't imagine.
Not done, but if they want to get younger, because they are getting older, they're one of those teams that, you know, and, you know, Theo Epstein's a great GM, so, I mean, he's great at what he does, but, you know, he always invests in the young, so if he can get something for Cole, that's the way I look at it, is bring him back, and if you have him for 2 years, well, you could try to find a lefty if you're not going to get Keuchel, at least.
Right.
I mean, that's the way I look at it.
I'll tell you, I want Bumgarner.
I think that'd be a great pickup. If you can get one of their setup men too, closers, not necessarily a closer, but another setup man, a good lefty, I think that'd be great to throw in with him as well.
Yeah, I mean, if you can get it, but I would love Bumgarner. I like Bumgarner. I'm not in love with Minor. There's a lot of Mike Minor talk.
Yeah,
I'd rather have Bumgarner than anybody.
So what's the Ben thing that you're talking about signing up? He's got 2 years.
All right, now here's the thing. Because I aim this to all the Ben critics. Now, Sean, I refresh my memory, because I think you are a half a Ben critic, correct?
No, the way I look at Ben, if he can develop a game, and I don't, this is the player that I think if he can develop a game, Julius Randle.
Julius Randle?
Like the way to be able to shoot a three.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
If he can develop. Yeah. I mean, he's a much better, Ben's a much better basketball player. But
he's a facilitator, right.
Yeah, if he can be in the post and that type of game with the passing, dude, think how good he can be. I mean,
no, without a doubt. So what I'm doing is I'm posing this to the critics. Now, you tell me if this is fair or not, that they got to be quiet on the trade Ben talk until next July, 1 year from this July. That would give him three playing seasons. That would give him three playoffs.
I think that's fair.
Right?
I mean, I think that is fair. He's got so much potential. Like, to get rid of him, people talking about, whoever said that Sean Livingston thing, I cracked up that one day when he said, train him for
Sean Livingston. Sean Livingston. Jamal Murray? Somebody said Jamal Murray yesterday.
No, absolutely not.
Such outrageous.
You would have to trade him to the Phoenix Suns for that second overall pick and Devin Booker.
Yeah, exactly. Like yeah,
that would be the only way. But that's how much.
And of course, you had that bogus story come out yesterday, or that. Where
you heard what I said yesterday about that? Like, if he would have came into the facility with a glass of wine or drinking beer, I would have been worried. The people that are worried. Like, tell me how many times you called out of work because you went out on a thirsty Thursday and you couldn't make it into work on a Friday. Like, kid's 22 years old.
Yep. Like, yeah, I feel you, brother. I feel you, Sean. Good stuff, my brother. Good stuff. Aaron, Southwest, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Aaron.
Hey, what's up? Hey, I'm pulling over right now.
My man. All right.
So, you know what I don't understand, right? It's about all these Ben Simmons critics, right? Now, listen, this guy gets you a triple-double. Do they realize a triple-double, you're getting 10 points, 10 assists. If them 10 assists is 2 points apiece, that's 30 points right there. 10 rebounds. If you just get a point, a half a point for his rebound, that's 5 points. That's 35 points that he's giving you, often. You understand what I'm saying? They worried about his jump shot. He passes the ball.
Brother,
You got Harris.
Yes.
And you got Redick. They're the jump shot shooters. Let this man bring the ball up. Let him get 20. He don't got to score. Let him get 20 assists. Let him get the 15 rebounds because he's going to grab the boards and everything. That's what I don't understand what people talking about with how he don't shoot a jump shot. He giving you way more than a jump shot. If he give you 10 assists, that's 20 points at least.
I'm with you. And that's why, now there's certain things just so he's not – he's not invisible on the floor at times. He's got to be aggressive. He's got to attack the rim. But I'm with you. I don't understand. That's why I want to come to, like, today, before game three, I want to come to an understanding with all the Ben haters. Because guys like us that love the kid, I see growth in him. Like, I see his attitude. I see him starting to grow up a little bit. You can see it. There's times, he was bad on Saturday, but the way he responded, the way he's talking about, talks about the Dudley thing, the way he answered the Brett question, I like that.
Yeah, he's growing up, and he's, man, that dude is a beast, yo.
Thanks, Aaron.
I don't understand it.
My man.
I don't understand it. We need to think about them assists and rebounds. If you get a 20-point score, well, who's going to get
well
you one
said.
Or two assists? A one rebound, what you gonna get?
That's I feel you. Thanks, brother. Appreciate it, Aaron.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.